The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Mindy, one of her daughter-in-laws, and she does a great job. Amen. Keeps Joshua straight, too, and so that's a blessing. Amen. You know, I am not a joke teller. I'm not. A matter of fact, when I hear a good one, if I try and tell it, I'll mess it up every single time. But I'm going to work on it this afternoon, and I heard a little funny joke, and I'll tell it to you tonight if I can work on it for about 6 hours. And I'm going to see if I can get it out. Now don't come to church. Don't you dare. Don't come to church tonight and say, the only reason I'm going to go to church tonight is because the preacher's going to tell a joke. That's the wrong reason, okay? Because it's probably not going to turn out. But anyway, I think I'll try and share that tonight. I want to speak this morning on when the saints get out of place. When the saints get out of place. Now, I want you to notice this. John chapter 20, verse 24, the Bible says, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. All right, so notice he's absent. He is out of place. Look at verse 25. The Bible says, and the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. So see, by being out of place, he missed the Lord. By being out of place, he missed what God wanted him to see. That's why I believe that the Bible talks about being faithful, you know, being steadfast in our Christian service. The Bible says, and he said unto them, so here's what he's saying, except, this is Thomas speaking, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger in, it says, into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side. I will not believe. All right, now wait a minute. My questions in my heart is this. He was not where he should have been. Because he was not where he should have been, he did not see the Lord. You know, how many times, now by the way, I'm not just talking about a physical attendance, but how many times do you drift off, maybe in a service? Now, I'm not talking about sleeping, lullaby type of stuff, but I'm saying just your attention span. You know, all of a sudden you find yourself thinking about lunch, or you find yourself thinking about an event to come, or you find yourself thinking about a relationship that needs to be mended, or you find yourself drifting, where all of a sudden you're just not focused, you know. Well, here Thomas is not just not there mentally, but yes, also he's not there physically. And because he is not there, the Bible says that he missed the Lord. Now, I don't know about you. I've never pretended, nor will I ever be somebody that pretends that I'm a great preacher. I've never pretended to be a great teacher. I do my best. I try to be faithful with the cause of Christ. I try to do my best to be able to help believers to step up their faith and to be able to serve Jesus Christ more. But I know one thing I can be, and I know one thing that you can be, and that is that we together can be faithful. Here you'll see that Thomas, he is not where he is supposed to be. So I begin to think about that as I was coming in and getting ready to preach and whatnot. And I wrote down some things on what happens when the saints are out of place. What happens when the saints get out of place? All right, let me give you a couple of statements. Statement number one, being out of place causes doubt. Being out of place causes doubt. Look in your Bible again. The Bible says in John chapter 20 and verse 24, the Bible says, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. All right, so he's out of place. He's not where he is supposed to be. The Bible says this. The Bible says, and I'm going to reread it for illustration's sake and for emphasis' sake. The Bible says, and when he said unto them, except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into, it says, his side. Now watch this, a dogmatic statement here, I will not believe. All right? And so here's what we find out. Because he was not in the right place at the right time, doubt begins to come. How many times have I talked to Christians, people that are saved, but yet they doubt it? You know, they used to be faithful to church. They used to read their Bible. They used to be right where they're supposed to be. But all of a sudden, something came in their life. They got out of place. And because they got out of place, maybe they stopped teaching a Sunday school class, or they stopped working in a bus ministry, or they stopped singing in a choir, or they stopped being an usher, or they stopped being a greeter, or they stopped faithfully attending the house of God. And before you know it, they begin to doubt their Christian faith. Some people would go as far as even doubting their salvation. You know where it started? They got out of place. They got out of place. Now, maybe before, long before they doubt their salvation, they doubt, if you would please, that God is a God that hears and answers prayer. You know what I find out about non-faithful people? I find this out about non-faithful people. Most of the time, if they're not faithful to the house of God, they're also not faithful in their prayer life. They're also not faithful in their Bible reading. They're also not faithful in their tract distribution. They're also not faithful in giving out the gospel. Sometimes they're not faithful in their giving, or maybe they're not faithful in another area. You know why? Because all of a sudden, they begin to drift further and further and further and further away. Where did it start? It might have started one day when they got sick. It might have started one day when they got discouraged. It might have started one day when perhaps they heard a rumor about themselves. It might have started through somebody putting something discouraging in some type of place where they would read, maybe a newspaper, maybe a book, maybe a periodical, maybe an email, maybe a text, maybe one of those Facebook things or something like that. And all right, so I'm saying this, you've got to be careful, dear beloved friend, that you do not get out of place. I believe this. I believe that if you can show up for work on Monday sick, you ought to be able to show up for church on Sunday sick. Amen. Now, I'm not saying spread, I'm not advocating that you spread your germs. Okay, I'm not advocating that. I'm not advocating you come to church and you sneeze on everyone just because you want to share the love of God. I'm not advocating that. But I am saying this, I think we have to prioritize where our true priorities do lie. Now, here's what we understand. We understand that here Thomas is out of place. Because Thomas is out of place, he begins to doubt. You remember September 11th in 2001, it was days after Ground Zero had taken place, where we talk about Ground Zero in New York City, and the President of the United States showed up, President Bush. He got up there and he tried to make a speech, and somebody hollered out of the crowd. They said, "We can't hear you." He grabbed that megaphone, and as recorded on many, many media stations, he says, "You can't hear me, but I hear you. America hears you. And those that knock down those buildings, they will hear from all of us soon." All right? Now, wait a minute. They could not hear him because they were not close enough. All right, they were a distance away. They were on the other side. And can I tell you, you and I, comparatively speaking, ought never to put ourselves in a situation that causes us to be distanced from that which is a voice of God himself. We can move so far away that we don't hear him. Come on. We can distance ourselves so far away when the preacher gets up. Now, I love you, but I'm trying to help you this morning. Understand, it doesn't matter the exuberancy of the preacher. It doesn't matter, if you would please, the excitability of the preacher. It does not matter the delivery skills of the preacher. You can have somebody that's a great orator. You can have somebody that has energy beyond compare. You can have somebody that preaches from behind the pulpit, in front of the pulpit, and yes, on top of the pulpit. But it doesn't matter if you're not here. Doesn't matter if you're not here physically. Doesn't matter if you are here physically, but you're not here mentally. All right? So notice this. He was out of place. Because he was out of place, it caused doubt. Okay, husband and wife in a marriage, they never talk. Husband and wife in a marriage, they never get along. When they do get along, it's not like this. Or it is like this. It's not like this. Or you got one that has a closed spirit, the other one has an open spirit, and nothing's penetrating the closed spirit. Can I tell you, that's the way church is. We can come to church and have a closed spirit. We can come to church and say, "I've had a bad day, and God, things are not just going right." Have a closed spirit. And doesn't matter what the preacher preaches on, doesn't matter how good he is, doesn't matter what his delivery skills are, can I tell you, God cannot reach you. Because you have put yourself out of place. I'm saying this, being out of place causes doubt, statement number one. Statement number two, being out of place causes denial. Look at it, Matthew chapter 26 and verse 36. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 36. The Bible says, then cometh Jesus, it says, with them unto the place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray. All right, now they were supposed to sit there. They were supposed to be alert. They were supposed to just wait until the master came back. What took place? He comes back three separate times, and he finds them not awake, not alert, but sound asleep. Now, what happened? I'll tell you what happened. All of a sudden, they begin to think of themselves. All of a sudden, they turned inward, and they were not focused outward. And because of that, they were out of place, and it caused them to deny. You said, well, they didn't deny, preacher. Oh, yes, they did. Remember Peter? When long after that, here Peter is following what? Afar off. When long after that, it is sitting down beside the enemy and warming his hands beside the enemy's fire. Wasn't long after that since you find him lurking around the pillars, following Jesus at a distance. Hey, wait a minute. Even before that, he denied him three times. His voice was the voice of a Galilean. These maidens came up, said, hey, I know you. He denied, he denied, he denied. Now, can I tell you, listen, when we're not in the right place, it's easy to deny. Let me prove it to you. It's easy not to deny God in church. It's easy. Man, you come to church, preacher's preaching, and somebody gets an unction inside of them, and they say amen. Or somebody smiles. Or Brother Palmer gets up, does a great job, opens the hymn book, we sing together. It's easy not to deny God in church. Let me tell you where it gets hard outside these walls. When you leave here, all of a sudden somebody's cursing God in the supermarket, what are you going to say? When you leave here and some evolutionist in the public school tries to prove the theory of evolution, what are you going to say? When you're out there in the workplace and somebody all of a sudden decides to steal something and you see it from the company, what are you going to do? You see, inside the church walls, hey, I'm telling you what, it's a little bit of heaven on earth. We get up, we hear the word of God, preacher preaches, he takes the word of God, he says, thus saith the word of God. Sometimes somebody get excited, they'll shout amen. Sometimes people will smile. People nod the head in affirmative. We have an altar call. People come to the altar. They pray. Man, the guys that attend the church, they look just right. The gals that attend the church look just right. Christian fellowship, shaking the hand, giving our monies to be able to be used in the house of God for the proclamation of the gospel. Man, it all sounds swell. But once you get out of here, that's when the temptation comes. When you're out on your own, when you're by yourself, when mom and daddy's not around, when brother and sister's not around, when the preacher's not riding around in your back pocket, when all of a sudden you don't have a deacon riding in the front seat of your car. Hey, can I tell you, there's where the temptation comes. You know, it's a whole lot easier to have people in your house that serve God to help you to serve God than to be in your house by yourself trying to serve God. It's just easier. It's easier when somebody's in your house, you're not living by yourself, somebody's in the house saying, hey, come on, it's time to go. Gotta go, let's go. Time to go to church. It's easier than when you're by yourself. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that here Thomas is. First, you see that he doubted. Why? Because he was not in the right place. Then you see Peter. Peter began to deny. Why? Because he wasn't in the right place. You can walk by yourself. Hey, listen to me. And the pressures of the world do come. They're going to come. You say, oh, not me. I've been saved a long time. The devil's after you more because you're a bigger trophy. So he tries to knock you out more. If he can get daddy discouraged, he'll get mama discouraged. He can get mama discouraged, he'll get junior or little sis discouraged. So he tries to, that's why I say men, learn to lead. Amen. Not being mean, I'm not being facetious, but we as men need to learn to put on our big boy britches and just lead. We have to decide that it's about time that we're going to be men, we're going to stand up, we're going to make spiritual decisions, and we're going to lead the family to make right, spiritual, God-honoring, Christ-glorifying decisions. Amen. And by the way, if your husband has left you and you're by yourself, it's extremely hard. But God still wants you to lead your children. God still wants you to be the example for your children. I'm saying this, statement number one, being out of place causes doubt. Illustration, Thomas. Statement number two, being out of place causes denial. Illustration, Peter. Dr. Lee Robertson was asked one day, what is the key to living the successful Christian life? He answered this, be filled with the Spirit and deny self. Be filled with the Spirit and deny self. Statement number three, being out of place causes a lack of physical necessities. Listen to your Bible. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 8, and the word of the Lord came unto him saying, listen to it in verse 9, arise and get thee, it says, to Zarephath. It says, which belongeth to Zidon. It says, and there, it says, dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to sustain thee. Now that's God talking to Elijah. He said, now, Elijah, here's what I want you to do. Now, by the way, this was the same time as you studied in your Sunday school lesson that Ahab was alive and Jezebel, and we studied about them this morning. Okay? And so here he is. God said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go down there. I want you to dwell in that which is the widow's house, and there I'll take care of you. Elijah said, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it. You know why? Because that was close to where Ahab was and Jezebel was. So he was afraid. And he said, no, I'm not going to do it. So what did God do? God dried up the brook so that the birds would not come anymore. And God forced his hand to get into God's will. Now, can I tell you something about God's will? We can go happily into God's will, or we can go being pulled by God into God's will, or pushed by God into God's will, but it's important you always be in God's will. I know there's this philosophy going around, man, if you serve God, God's going to bless you. He may. He may bless you with prison. He may bless you with a broken arm. See, we've got to get past this. By the way, we have this philosophy, you know, name it, claim it, you know, serve God. Everything's going to be hunky-dory-dory. I got friends right now in prison in Cambodia and Vietnam. Tell it to them. Passing out tracts and preaching the gospel and got arrested for preaching the gospel and passing out tracts. Hey, listen, I'm saying that the will of God is not always pleasurable, but let me submit to you something this morning, dear friend. The will of God is always the most important thing to do. You won't always have all your needs that are there right there for you. You may have to suffer just a little bit, but that's okay. If it's for the cause of Christ. By the way, didn't the apostles suffer? Didn't Jesus himself, the very Son of God, suffer on the cross? Why is it that we think that we're more special than they? Well, God, you need to be good to me because I'm one of your children. He is good to you. He's good to you when it rains, and he's good to you when it's sunshine. He's good to you if it snows. He's good to you in an ice storm. Hey, it doesn't change the attributes of God. Why? Because God is always good. But are you one of these passive Christians that says, well, I'm only going to serve God when it's going my way? God, if you're good to me, I'll be faithful. But God, if you're not good to me, well, forget you. Look, I determined I was coming to church this morning. It didn't matter if my truck had air conditioning or not. I was going to come to church this morning. It didn't matter if my truck started or not. I was going to come to church this morning, and it doesn't matter if my wife and I ate breakfast this morning together or not. Come on. Listen, you say, man, my mother-in-law is visiting. What do you think about that? That's extra incentive to get out of the house. No, bring your mother-in-law with you. You know, somebody visits our house, we have a rule. You know, so it's an unwritten rule. You won't find it written over the door. But if you visit our house and we go to church, you go to church. I know people say, well, I had so-and-so come in. They visited with us, so we had to stay home. Shame. Just say, hey, look, you know, we go to church, and I'm glad you're visiting. We'll be leaving tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. We'll be leaving tomorrow morning at 9:30. Let them see where your priorities are. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying, here's what we understand. We understand being out of place, if you would please, caused Thomas to doubt. Being out of place caused Peter to deny. Being out of place caused that which was Elijah to lack his physical necessities. You and I ought to understand that it's important that I simply obey God. Now, here's the way that we perceive it. Stand, if you will. Here's the way we perceive it. Here's the way we stand up. Just stand right there. Here's the way we perceive it. We perceive going over and getting God and saying, okay, God, follow me. That's the way Christianity's lived today. Okay, God, follow me. I'm going to go over here and serve. This is what I want to do. Now you bless me. That's the way Christianity's perceived today. God, I'm going to do what I desire to do. Now you come with me, God. You come with me. You serve me. Now you're nodding your head, but it's true. By the way, that's the average child that's in the home. Mom and Dad, serve me. Don't hurt my feelings. Give me everything I want. That's why we have some spiritual brats. Now here's what it's supposed to be. I'm supposed to find the will of God and just follow. That's what I'm supposed to do. Oh, but preacher, what if he leads me through pain? So be it. Oh, preacher, what if he leads me in a direction that I don't feel like I should go? Who cares? Look, my responsibility is to follow a holy God. My responsibility is to submit myself to the will of God. You say, well, preacher, sometimes I don't feel like going to church. Me too. A preacher, sometimes I don't like that loudmouth preaching. Me too. But I'm still going to go to church. Amen. Now, by the way, since I am in church, I'm going to enjoy it. Amen. I mean, why come to church and make everybody miserable? You ever see a grump at church? You know, God is working on everybody's heart. He's just following the crowd. That's what he's done. Just following the crowd. But he's got this mean, dirty look upon his face. Preacher preaches, folds his arms, makes a mean, ugly look. Look like he's trying to breathe but can't. Yeah. Look, when you come to church, look, stop. Do you love God? If we love God, you don't have to come to church smiling all the time because life is real. But it can't be that bad. I mean, something in church ought to grab you here that comes out here somewhere. Won't be my joke, but somewhere. Now, I'm saying this. Thank you, Brother Craig. I'm saying this. Understand this. Being out of place causes doubt. You see that, if you will, in Thomas's life. Being out of place causes denial. See that in Peter's life. Being out of place will cause for your lack of necessity. You see that in Elijah's life. You know, Thomas Edison, great inventor. One day, Thomas Edison was working, and he worked on a machine that he was going to present to the legislation chambers. You know, in the legislation chambers, here's what they did. Whenever they took a vote, they would have a box up front. They get up, come up, put their vote in the box. Thomas Edison thought, hey, I can help them. I'm gonna create an electrical panel. It's right there, and all they got to do is just switch it yes or switch it no. He presented it to the legislative body, and they said, no, we don't want it. And they rejected it. It was at that rejection that he wrote in his diary these words. There and then, I made a vow that I would never again invent anything which was not wanted. Now, can I tell you, God, stand up, God, him representing, God wants you. So when you give yourself to God, he'll use you. He'll never reject you. You do something for God and God receives it. Okay, I've got to hurry. Thank you. Statement number one, I said being out of place causes doubt. Statement number two, causes denial. Statement number three, causes a lack of physical necessities. Statement number four, it will cause a delay in God's work. When we are out of place, and can I tell you? Now, I love you, but can I tell you, can I help you this morning? Our missionaries rely on you. So when you get out of place and we're not able to meet their needs, it causes a lack of the work to go on. Not done. When you're out of place, some teenager walking around looking for you, say, Mom, did you see so-and-so there today? Mom says, no, I didn't see them today. Causes a teenager's faith to begin to wane. Oh, you say, but preacher, I'm a nobody. Oh, but you're somebody to them. You're somebody to them. Causes a child that's used to seeing you sit in front of them. All of a sudden, now you're not there. Child reaches over to dad, says, Dad, where are they at? Dad says, I don't know. Causes a child to begin to doubt. I'm saying this. I'm saying being out of place will delay God's work. Here's Jonah. Jonah chapter 1 and verse 2, the Bible says, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against their wickedness is come up before me. What did he do? He denied. Because he was out of place, the revival, the work did not take place right then. There was a delay. Now, thank God, a great revival did come later. 600,000 people got saved in that revival or so. Hey, what a wonderful, wonderful time. But it could have been earlier. One of my heroes is Billy Sunday, because Billy Sunday had a part in my two adopted grandparents getting saved. They received Christ around the age of 12 or so. You can look it up. It was the 1909 revival in Baltimore City, Maryland. They walked the aisle. They received Christ as their Savior. Now, what a wonderful blessing. But you know, when Billy Sunday was called to go into the gospel ministry, he stayed playing baseball for 1 year after that. Check your history. And we thank God for over the 1 million people that walked the aisle receiving Christ as Savior. Makes me wonder, could there have been 1.2 million? Could there have been 1.3 million? Could there have been 1.4 million? Just because he delayed. You know, we need to fulfill the will of God and not delay like a Jonah. Last one, okay? Statement number one, I said, being out of place causes doubt. Being out of place, statement number two, causes denial. Being out of place will cause a lack of physical necessities being met. Statement number four, being out of place will cause a delay in God's work. Statement number five, and I'm done. Being out of place will cause lost souls to still be lost. Listen to it. Here it is. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 10. Last verse I'll read. Here it is. The Bible says, Matthew chapter 26 and verse 10. It says, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And listen to it now. And they were ready, went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. I don't know about you. I you know, at the conference that I preached at, this pastor's conference I preached at, the theme was a space of grace. Taken out of Ezra chapter 9, I believe, verse 8. It's a space of grace. Can I tell you what God has given us? A space of grace. God's given us the opportunity right now in America, right now in America, a space of grace to be able to get into schools and to get into colleges, to be able to spread the gospel without any restraint. God has given us a space of grace. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that souls that are lost would still be lost if you're out of place. There was a lady by the name of Gladys. Her first name was Gladys. Her last name was A-Ward. Gladys A-Ward. Poor family. The year was 1902. Was born into a poor family. She had a desire to be able to go to the foreign mission field. She applied to the China Inland Mission Board and was turned down. Her heart broke as a young lady. Later on, she found out that China had been invaded by the Japanese. She heard of boys and girls by the hundreds that was being slaughtered. She said, I can go, I can make a difference. She decided that she's going to take all of her life savings, not go through a mission board, just go. She said, if nobody will rescue the children, I will. If you'll read about her life, she went in, took her own money, took her own risk, and led hundreds and hundreds of children across the mountain so they wouldn't be destroyed. In her journal, she writes this, I had no special interest in children whatsoever. I just have an interest in people, and they were people. Hello? So what is that, preacher? I'll tell you what that is. That's a person who says, doesn't matter to me, pigment of skin. Doesn't matter to me, hair color. Doesn't matter to me if they have a financial, if they're financially well-to-do. Doesn't matter where they come from. They're just people. They're just people. And God wants me to reach people. Can I tell you? Listen, whatever you do, stay in place. Stay in place. You let God work in your life. Don't get out of place. Once you get out of place, I'm telling you, dear friend, doubt's going to come. Once you get out of place, denial will set in. Once you get out of place, your physical necessities will not be met. Once you get out of place, you're going to cause the work of God to be delayed. Once you get out of place, the lost will still be lost. Stay in your place. Father, we thank you for today.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.